Okay, we are sitting on the Shabbos, on the cusp of the Shabbos of Nechama, with our sincerest hopes and tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He will accept us, b'tshuva shleima, that we should be able to get to the status of Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, and of course that begins first with being able to daven and to learn Hashem's Torah, and so let us begin with Parshas Vaeschanan. We find Moshe Rabbeinu introducing himself into Parshas Vaeschanan by offering tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he davens, Hashem Elokim, Hashem O God, Hatachi Losa, Laharos, Ez Avdecha, Ez Gadlecha, Ez Yadcha, Ez Chazaka. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, you showed your servant your greatness, your strong hand. In the Gemara, in Brachos on Daf Lamed Beis, Amin Aleph learns from here that one should first be Mesader the Shvachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and only thereafter should he go ahead and daven. Now, of course, it sounds like this soft talk in front of Hashem sounds almost like we're buttering him up. What's the goal of this soft talk in front of Hashem? Do we really think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be buttered up by our couple of good words, our Shvachim? So Rav Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal really gives us a perspective on the goal of tefillah. Rav Moshe stressed the fact that when one asks for a favor from a friend, a person does so because he thinks that the other friend can help him, but not because he knows that the other friend can help him. The difference is when one speaks to Hashem, it's important to remember that Hashem has the ability to do anything. And so therefore, being misander shvacho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, establishing the praise of Hashem, is not for Hashem. It's a reminder to us as to where we should direct our needs and know that it's in Him that we're supposed to be able to do them. And that's really the focus that takes place. In fact, Rav Moshe went off over here to discuss that those who turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Tehillim only after having tried all the other opportunities are really failing in the process. What they're doing is they're making a terrible mistake, thinking that first I do everything else, then I turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not the time to say Tehillim. First you say the Tehillim, then you do all the other things that you have to do. We find that by Yaakov Avinu as well. First Yaakov Avinu davened, Then he turned around and he took care of all the other hishtadlos activities that he had to take care of. The Torah tells us, "Lo sosifu al adavar asher anochi mitzav eschem." Don't add to the Torah mitzvos, "Velo sigru mimenu," and also don't take away from them. Now, ironically, these two mitzvos, Bal Tigra and Bal Tosev, are repeated again, almost like it's a hosafa. We find them repeated in Parshas Re'eh. Why is that so? So the Vilna Gaon explains that there's another repetition in Parshas Re'eh, that of the mitzvah Sviras Omer. In that case, it's repeated in the singular, having already been written in the plural. And so the Gra explains that the difference between the singular and the plural is that the singular applies to the concept of an Am, right? One united nation does things in the single, while a plural is a chiyuv on each individual. So Rosh Shechter Shalita would often tell us that the same thing applies over here. Whether the Beis Din HaGadol, lo so seifa lav, the Beis Din HaGadol were to be the one to add to the Torah, or whether a single individual decides to add an extra rose, let's say, to the Dalet Minim, it would still be a violation of the rule of Bal Tosef. The Torah, by switching between the singular and the plural, which it does in other areas of life as well, is teaching us that we can look at Torah rules, or even in principles. Rosh Shechter pointed out that the difference between the Tochacha and Parshas Pechukosai and the Tochacha at the end of the Book of Devarim is that these two things differ in the fact that one is single, one is plural, and both serve as a commandment to the individuals and to the community of Am Yisrael as a whole. In the case of the Tochacha, so Rosh Shechter pointed out, that's part of the bris of Klal Yisrael, the second bris that took place only after the Bnei Yisrael ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, when they had finally achieved the status of being an Am. And so therefore that Tochacha is written in the singular. Yakecha Hashem, etc. Baruch atah bo'ir. Okay, then the Torah goes on, and the Torah reminds us in the Kriyas HaTorah that you have to, Ushmatim ma'od l'nafsho seichem, that you have to be careful to guard yourselves. Ki lo risem kol tumuna b'yom, diber Hashem elokechem al har mitoch eish b'choriv. That you have to be careful because you didn't see any image on the day that Hashem spoke to you from the midst of the fire on Har Choriv. Now, Ushmatim ma'od l'nafsho seichem serves as a source, says the Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Lamed Beis, Amed Beis, for the person's need to watch over his or her health. But how does that fit in with the reason brought in the second half of the pasuk that it has to do with the fact that you didn't see God when you were on Har Chorev? All of that seems like totally unrelated. So Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal explained that the acceptance of the Torah was a completely spiritual experience. It had a potential to damage the gashmias, the physical aspects of man. And we find a similar idea in the Avodah V'Yom HaKippurim, where the Kohen Gadol is totally spiritual that day. But when it came to going to the mikveh, there were special rules that were established to create metal elements so that when he went into the mikveh, the water should be warm. So that this way the Kohen Gadol's physical nature would not be compromised. There were Atzei Amarocha, so that the Kohanim Gadol, not Atzei Amarocha, there were other fires that existed in special places in the Beis HaMikdash, so that the Kohanim who were doing the Avodah, a completely and totally spiritual thing, would not freeze when their bare feet were on the floor. So the Torah wants us to know that this was not a given at the time of Matan Torah. One needs to protect his or her health, not only at the time of Matan Torah, but even now. So physical health is something you got to work on. It's not given to you automatically for free. The Torah gives us all sorts of messages about the fact that when we make mistakes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that we're going to be punished, that this was the basis of the Kriyas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av. And we're told, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, but still notwithstanding, we will return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Noach Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was once asked how he was able to impact so many Balei Tshuva if the great leaders of the previous generations were only able to impact a few of them. So Rav Noach answered by knowing that there are certain beams that are so strong in life that they need to be lifted by cranes in order for them, the beams, to be able to be lifted and put into a building. These are the central support beams of some of the biggest structures. However, says Rav Noach, you'll notice that once the weight is lifted by the crane, the beams can be manipulated into place by a single human being. Rav Noach explained that there's a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that prior to the Geula, Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. That's like the crane. The promise is like the crane. In the prior generations, there was heavy lifting to do, and thus the earlier Gaonim were only able to impact a few, even though they were superhuman giants. But today, we're facing greater opportunities, given the Avtacha, that gets the heavy lifting done. And so even a single individual has the ability to manipulate things into place, creating huge, wonderful structures, beautiful homes of Balei Tshuva, and indeed, there are so many who have been so successful in this regard. Torah tells us, "Min haShamayim ishmiacha es kolo liyasreka." From the heavens, he made his voice heard in order to instruct you. And Rashi in Parshas Yisro uses this pasuk "Min haShamayim" to settle an apparent contradiction as to whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself on our Sinai min haShamayim, or whether, as the pasuk says, "Vayirid Hashem." Al Har Sinai, whether God came down from Shemayim to reveal himself on our Sinai. And so using this pasuk, Rashi explains that the glory of Hashem is in Shemayim, while his Isho HaGdolah, while his fire and his might are on the land. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal added that Rashi's explanation illustrates the paradoxical and seemingly impossible nature of Mamad Har Sinai. On the one hand, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu stayed in Shemayim and not come down onto the mountain in order to give the mitzvahs to Bnei Yisrael, they wouldn't have understood. They wouldn't have absorbed anything. Torah has to be brought down to the level that the people can understand. But on the other hand, it was important that Am Yisrael understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu transcends them. And unlike the Egyptian gods that they were accustomed to, they needed to be able to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is B'Shamayim Mimel V'Al-Aretz Mitachas. And so therefore, a profound experience was needed in order to convey this complex message. And so therefore, used Isho HaGdola V'Kochocho HaGadol, and that in order to be able to show us that on the one hand, he's on top, on the other hand, he's able to relate. We read about the Aseres HaDibros, and of course, it's a great opportunity to remind ourselves on the fact that Yom HaShvi Shabbos LaHashem Elokecha, the seventh day, is set aside for Hashem. And the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph notes that when visiting the sick on Shabbos uses the phrase Shabbos Himil Zok when davening, which implies that Shabbos itself is supposed to provide the healing. But don't we find that Shabbos doesn't always provide healing, and in fact, sometimes it even seems to be involved in the creation of the illness? So Rav Pinkas Atzal explains that there's an external aspect to illness, and there's an internal one. There's an external aspect to choli, what he calls the chitzonios, but then there's also a pnimius. And the appearance of illness on Shabbos is a vachadikar aspect of the day of Shabbos. Shabbos, when it's observed in its purest form, and illness don't align. And so when illness seems to occur on Shabbos, Rav Pinkus suggests that perhaps the antidote is a more deeper understanding of Shabbos and a greater opportunity to allow Shabbos to penetrate in order for somebody to find or create a vehicle from within which he can separate himself from Choli. It's a very interesting and deep concept that Rav Pinkus is putting on the table, that there is there's an outward manifestation of illness and an outward manifestation of Shabbos, and what we need in our lives is less outward and more of a focus on letting Shabbos be the center within us. We're also told, Lo sasave eishes reyecha. We have to be careful not to create a sense of envy in anything that our friends have. And of course the question has to be raised, how are we supposed to be able to do that? How is the Torah trying to get us to regulate an emotion? So, Ibn Ezra in Parshas Yisro certainly has a long explanation that if something doesn't belong to you, the derech of the Isha Bitachon turns around and says to himself, how am I going to allow myself to covet that which isn't mine? Rav Volbi, using this idea, explained that when one lives with the realization that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us is indeed ours, and what he doesn't give us is not supposed to be ours. And he says that when a person comes to that realization, it serves as a part of the bitachon that helps the man not desire that which doesn't belong to you. If it was supposed to be mine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give it to me. And if it's not mine, so then he won't. We also read the first parasha of Kriyishma, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, in this week's Sedra. And we're told in that context, V'shinantam levanecha v'dibarta b'mishivtecha b'veisecha. And thus the source of man's responsibility of chinuch, to teach his children Torah, and also to learn Torah himself, is based on this pasuk. If you look at the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the first four halachos, the Rambam seems to first put the idea of teaching Torah before the process of studying Torah itself. Why does the Torah seem to do that? Moreover, the source of man's obligation to study Torah himself only appears in the book of Yoshua, V'agisa bo yomam v'alayla. So why does it seem that the idea of teaching is primary and the idea of learning only ancillary? So Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi Shlita explained that ideal Torah study is the transmission of Torah from generation to generation via the Masorah. And as we daven each day, we say v'sein b'libeinu lahavinu laskil l'shmoa l'umod u'lalamid, that we ask God to give us the ability to learn and to teach. Says Rav Baruch Mordechai, this is not two separate requests, it's one huge request, to fulfill an ideal obligation of teaching Torah by example. That's the idea, keeping the Masorah alive. And thus only in Torah is a teacher called a Malamed. We don't have a Malamed of history, we don't have a Malamed of mathematics, because a Malamed is not a professor, and a Malamed is not somebody behind the information booth. A Malamed is one who raises the students to become future Malamdim too, to be able to create with them a future foundation for the transmission of Torah, to create new channels of Torah life in the students and the children being taught. And that, says Rav Baruch Mordechai, is the difference between a Rebbe and a professor. It's not about the professor's Torah. It's not about the professor teaching the students. It is the central idea of the Rebbe being the central figure to make sure that his children and his students serve as the opportunity for the continuation of Torah. Finally, we read that wonderful Haftorah of Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. And in the context, we're told, Kol Geyi Nasei, every valley gets raised, and Bechol Har Tishapalna, and every mountain and plateau will be lowered, and that which is crooked has the ability to become straight. And the simple understanding of this pasuk in Yishayahu implies that the return to Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Geula will be simple and without impediment, making it easy to return. Rav Shimon Schwab added that there's an additional metaphoric level of interpretation here, as the reference to multiple uneven surfaces refers to a change in world order in the Acharis Hayamim in the days of Mashiach. In other words, prior to Mashiach's arrival, there's a misperceived importance of the multi-billionaire who throws his weight around as being important, even if that individual turns out to be a scoundrel. However, the view of the people and their priorities will change in the time of Mashiach. Things that were considered unimportant will become important, and that which is considered important will be seen as trivial. And thus, crookedness will become straight, lasid level. And that, indeed, is what we hope for as we stand here now on the cusp of a Shabbos Nechamu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make sure that we should have the ultimate Nechama, the Nechama that comes B'Yom Shabbat Shalom HaGadol L'Yom Shekulo Shabbos. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu make us all Zocha to be there together for one and all.